This is episode number 53 of the Show It Off podcast. How you doing, mama? Life certainly is full and not boring these days. Doesn't it seem to be that everybody's holding a lot of space and dealing with a lot? And I'm hopeful when I say my evening prayers, I think about you, and I'm hopeful that you are keeping up with the practices and the rituals that support you as you are most likely holding space for others or processing a lot, going through a lot. We are still able to be joyful, to laugh and have fun and really just play and be present, even if we're healing, even if we're moving through a lot of energy. And if we're, you know, doing our morning practice and our daily meditation, yoga, moving our body, eating well, it certainly helps with that. And I don't think it just helps, but I think it's like the secret sauce necessary. Necesito. I have been working really hard the past month, especially building this beautiful, gorgeous, Empowered Single Mama membership program. And it's just been like my newborn baby needing so much extra care. I need to work when it wants to work, you know, like when you have a newborn baby and you sleep when she wants to sleep or you are awake when she is. It's kind of like that. I've been letting this big project kind of run the show lately. And this weekend I had to go to the other side of the island for respite and recharging. I spent the weekend with my dear friend Alila Grace. And if you've been listening to the show for a while, you are familiar with her. She's the founder of Mahina Cup. And it's about a sustainable menstrual product. So we don't have to be littering the earth with tampons and our body with toxins. It's really beautiful business. If you haven't checked it out, go to mahinacup.com. Anyways, I was over there with her, and she's in such a good place in her life, and I was able to just like feel her good energy, and we did card pulling and yoni steams and breast massage and beach days, and oh, it was so nice. So I just wanted to remind you to, you know, check in. Okay, am I burning the candle at both ends? Do I need to slow down a little bit, or have I been too much on the other end and just like feeling depressed and loafing around? And where can I perhaps do some breath of fire and charge up my body and maybe get some sunshine? You know, really just it's about checking in. So after my weekend with my dear girlfriend, my sister friend, I feel really great. I feel really ready for this week ahead. And I'm very excited because today I am dropping part two of the episode, which is number 50 with Mrs. Karen Stanley. And that episode, woo, we got a lot of listens, a lot of downloads on that one, and a lot of responses, which is really exciting for me. And you know how much I love to communicate. And so when you respond and you reply and you let me know how you liked that episode, it's like, oh my God, love it. I mean it. It means so much to me. So anyways, Becoming Mrs. Karen Stanley is the title of her book. It's A Single Mom's Guide to Attracting Mr. Right. And you'll notice how she doesn't say finding Mr. Right. No, no, no. We are not the hunters. We are the flower. We let the bees come to us, right? And so she says attracting Mr. Right. And I just love that. So you can just sit and be your beautiful goddess self, and the man of your dreams will find you. He is the hunter. So if you listened to that episode and you were like me, and I was like, you can tell when I interview her, I was kind of like, cringe, like I'd rather like die than attract a husband. My God, I was just really like emotionally charged by that episode. It was kind of like a trigger, even though I love Karen. Oh my God, I love her. And I can't wait to do more collaborations with her. In fact, she is collaborating with me in the Empowered Single Mama membership. So I'm very excited for you guys to get more from her, even more than part two of this episode, which you're going to hear very soon once I stop talking. But I wanted to share with you, if you didn't hear part one, it's episode 50, so make sure to listen to that. But in it, you'll hear me tell her, like, oh man, what you're saying, it's just like the last thing that I want. Like, I don't want to share my home. I don't want to invite a man into my family. My focus is my daughter, and that's my career, and that's enough for me. And what she said, you feel like that because you're going off of your history. You're going off of what you've experienced, and you haven't ever had a, like, I don't know the word she used exactly, but it was basically like a healthy relationship. And because of that, you're looking at your past and going, nope, I don't want that. And, you know, you just, once you have what I've experienced now with my current husband, then you'll think differently. And I was like, in my mind, like, you'll hear my voice, I'm like, uh-huh, okay. But in my mind, I was like, yes, I have. I've had healthy relationships before. And then, so this was like 2 weeks ago, right? Or maybe even three now that that episode was dropped. And within that time, I've been thinking about what she said. And I've been chatting about it with my sister friends. And we're laughing at me because I'm like, she's right. I've never had a like relationship like she's describing that she has with her husband, that's for sure. And I even feel kind of triggered when I hear women say that they love their husbands more than anything, because I'm like, what about your kid? You know, like, to me, I love my daughter more than anything. And so it just brings up like all these feelings. But she was really right that I haven't had a relationship, obviously, because I've left all of them or they've all ended. You know, I haven't had a relationship where I'm feeling like it's 100% right. And I don't know, I guess I just went along thinking that nobody does, but she does. And she's like, I don't know, 5 years into her relationship or something. And like, you know, they have their disagreements, I guess, but they work through them and it's great. I don't know. So anyways, the whole point of my little tangent here is that in part two here, the reason we decided to do a part two is she called me and she was like, Sarah, an hour wasn't enough. There was so much that I wanted to say that didn't get to be said in part one, in our interview. So let's make it a part one and we'll do a part two. And so what she wanted to share is what you're about to hear. And it has to do with like what that means for your family, what that means for your shifting your single mom life into a married life, and the benefits and the joy and the gifts that she's been receiving, and what's possible for you if and when that's something you want to invite into your life. And I also want to say, like, you know, if I have listeners who are not even ever in a relationship with men, or like they have been and in the future they're like, I'm so gay. Maybe I'd like, that's why this wasn't working. And maybe I need to explore a relationship with a woman. I just want to let you know that there's, you know, still space for that in this conversation. There's still space for that thinking for you. And I have many days where I feel like that, you know. I've like often thought of myself as bisexual, and never had like a girlfriend, but in a deep relationship with a woman, but definitely have had sexual encounters with women, and you know, deep, deep loving relationships in the sister friend vibe. So, you know, I just sometimes wonder like what is next for me and what would be right for me, and just having an open concept, open heart, open mind, and not making it gender oriented, but more just spirit and soul and human oriented. So I just wanted to say that if, you know, you're listening and you're like, yeah, I'm never letting a man into my body or into my life again. Like, that is so okay, sister. And, you know, I'm really feeling the same right now. So, you know me, I change my mind a lot with this double Gemini Leo person if I am. So whatever. What I just want to say is that it's all fine and it's all loving to accept yourself whole and fully. So without further ado, thank you for being here, my sister. If you haven't already explored what I mean when I'm talking about the Empowered Single Mama Sisterhood, go to empoweredsinglemama.com and enter your email. There's nothing more but an opt-in page so that you can get on the mailing list, because my dear business partner, Michael, and I are working night and day making it perfect, and it's just not there yet. So once it is, you will know. But for now, you can get on the mailing list and you will start getting a lot of beautiful free support and content that I've built for you in the past that's ready now to give and you for you to receive. So yay, be sure to do that. If you are a single mama, this is for you. And without further ado, for reals, I am going to play the part two episode with Mrs. Karen Stanley. Enjoy. This is the Show It Off podcast, a show focused on changing the experience of being a single mama. We are changing the archetype of being a single mom. With self-love that prioritizes a miracle mindset, following our intuition, and receiving support, we are the sovereign queens of our lives. I am your host, Sarah Faye Schaaf. I am a confidence coach and an empowered single mama. Together, let's discover your power and show it off. Are you a single mama? Are you ready to change your experience of being a single mama? No longer do we have to be overworked, stressed, lonely, exhausted, unhealthy, working three jobs and barely making ends meet, and barely seeing our kids. Nope. That may have been the way it was going for single moms in the past, but we are a new generation of women, and we have new resources at our fingertips. What if being a single mom looked like being supported, being part of a sisterhood? I wanted to build a brand new online course to help single mamas rebuild their lives. But being that I am a single mom myself, my own life showed me that in order to teach and support single moms, I would have to get creative. Enter the Empowered Single Mama Sisterhood. It's an educational, supportive membership designed to give support and strategies for rebuilding your life as a single mom. I have formed a collective of teachers, women who have figured out how to thrive as a single mama, and they're joining me to support you to prioritize yourself, follow your intuition, build community, and create a life of your heart's desires. It is put together in a way that even a busy single mama can take in and benefit from. It is priced with the budget of a single mama in mind. And I'm going to over-deliver in value and support because it's my passion to change the archetype of single motherhood. This is something you are going to get month after month. It's going to take time to rebuild, but you're going to have the support to do so. We are not women to be pitied or cast out of society or suffering. We are the bravest, strongest, most resourceful, incredible people on the planet. There is nothing we wouldn't do in the name of love for our children. I know we can apply those traits we all have to be, do, have anything we want. I know we can because I'm doing it myself. And when you join the Empowered Single Mama Sisterhood, I will show you how. Because all of this can only be possible when you do two things. Number one, connect with me. And number two, have a miracle mindset, a mindset that supports you. So go to empoweredsinglemama.com and enter your email. Then we will be connected and you will receive the How to Have a Miracle Mindset guide I built for you, and this will get you started.
Good morning.
Good morning, friend.
How are you?
I'm so good. I really am so good. How are you?
Oh, so good. Is Luna okay? She's back to sleep.
She's not asleep. She's sitting here next to me, but she has promised to be quiet.
Aw, tell her I said hi. She's so cute and so sweet.
So cute. She can hear you. She's laying here with her kitten. So
hi, Luna. Someday I'll get to meet you. I can't wait.
She's looking at me because I told her that she has to not talk. And she's like, I want to say hi, but I'm not supposed to talk.
You can say hi. My baby girl is 14 now.
It's amazing. And,
yeah, she would love to meet you too.
Yeah. Luna's actually Luna's favorite age is like preteen, young teen girls. Yeah. She loves hanging out. Those are her best friends.
She's an old soul, wiser than her years.
Indeed.
Yeah, indeed.
So last time we had such a great talk and such a great conversation. And you and I were both like, oh my God, we can keep talking forever.
I know.
But my listeners are single moms and they don't have forever. So we had to split it up.
Right. You do. Really do. Yeah. You only have so many hours in the day.
Yeah. And I try to respect that. So I try to like keep the conversation, you know, about an hour. But thank goodness you're willing to return to the show for another convo and we can just keep it going.
Yeah. I'm super excited. Thank you again for having me. And it's been so fun and exciting to hear good feedback from people that have listened, and I just feel very grateful to be a part of your mission and your tribe. So again, thank you so much.
I'm so thankful too. You're amazing. And yeah, like I'm really loving the feedback. I just actually have one of my best girlfriends who went through my confidence course that I had before. She's a single mom of two boys, and she recently met somebody, a guy who she's like, Sarah, this is like the guy I've been like calling in. This is who I wanted to attract, you know? And then she heard your episode and she was like, it's so perfect. It's such perfect timing. And it was just really great to hear. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, that's so great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Doing the inner work is how we attract all of the amazing miracles into our lives. It's been my experience, and that's my true belief in my core now.
Yes.
And same. Yeah. And I was thinking of a few things that I was like, oh shoot, I didn't talk about this. Oh shoot, I didn't talk about this. So I'm so glad that we can kind of continue. And the very first thing I wanted to, that I did not say last time, is in regards to my soulmate list. I said the very last thing I added to my soulmate list was November 16th. And I added, my soulmate lives within 20 minutes of me. And then fast forward to December 7th of 2014. That was our first date. And we're going to go to a football game, the Cardinals game. And so I was going to meet him at his house. And I had never gotten his address before. So that morning I said, text me your address. I'm going to meet you at your house. And then he was going to drive.
Nice.
I put in his address and it was exactly 20 minutes. It wasn't 19. It's not 21. Exactly 20 minutes.
Wow.
Drive from my house. How powerful is that?
It's very powerful. And it's a great like indicator and proof of the power of like being clear about what you want and your intentions and what you want to call in, because the universe really does listen to those like orders and those requests down to the minute.
Down to the minute. That's so crazy, but it's true.
Can you tell us more about your soul list and what that means in case anybody isn't remembering or clear on what that means, or soulmate list?
Yes. So I had written, taken actually a course, a wonderful course. Gosh, I can't remember her name, but it's called The Soulmate Secret. 10 years before, I don't know, 7 or 8 years before I started on my own mission.
Okay.
And it was great. She was talking about visualizing and visualizations. And you know, having a list of everything that you want in a husband and a partnership and kind of, you know, characteristics. And I had done that. And I had a list of everything I wanted. It was on a piece of paper in my you know, side table, whatnot. And I remember one night reading it out loud, and it just struck me that I didn't believe a person like that existed. And once I realized that, I knew that what I needed to work on was my belief system. Yes. And because it will not manifest if you in your subconscious don't believe it's going to happen.
Yes.
So you have to find that belief system and transforming those limiting beliefs until you can manifest what it is that you want. And then I decided, after my best friend's wedding, I was decided to put the note, everything that I wanted in a soulmate, in the notes in my phone instead. So I think I mentioned that, but it's twofold. First, it gives you the opportunity to read it and edit it and, you know, make changes, delete, add, as you learn and grow. We're always growing. We're always learning something. We're always going to have a new experience that we hadn't had before that will teach us something that we really want to create. And it's important for me and my process was to have it in front of me all the time. That also reinforces the belief that it's true. So my soulmate is, you know, compassionate. My soulmate loves to come to my concerts, you know, is one of my entries, one of my options in my order.
Yes.
Loves to bring me flowers. Loves to travel. My soulmate's, you know, considerate, kind, loves to be around my family. I have a really, really, really large family. And I mean, I'm talking about 10 brothers and sisters, 49 grandkids, plus the spouses. Yeah, we're like 80 people, just my immediate family.
Wow.
That's not everybody's bag.
Right.
It can be very overwhelming for a lot of people. And I get that. My first husband, it was very overwhelming, and he wanted to avoid all of that, like the plague. And I felt sad about that. I really want to be with my family, and I want to be around with them, and I want to, you know, stay up late talking, and we're loud and we laugh loud and we sing together, and want to be able to enjoy that with
my husband. Yeah, of course.
Have a husband that enjoys that. I could pull it up and list all kinds of things, but the point of it is to list the characteristics of you, of the person that you really, really want to be with. And then you work toward you know, then that gives you your map. That's your roadmap to your soulmate, is to become that person, to demonstrate that you are kind, because kindness, kind acts, kind thoughts, and generosity with time doesn't have to be money. You don't have to have money to be generous. Compassion. What can you do one thing today that's you're demonstrating compassion to another human being that draws your soulmate closer to you with every act, with every thought, with every kind word, with every phone call you make, because you're demonstrating that you are kind. And then when you demonstrate kindness, it's a double whammy. You feel good about yourself. You're building your self-confidence, and you have helped somebody else. And you believe that, I think there are some compassionate people out there. This person's compassionate. I just did something that was compassionate. And there are compassionate people everywhere. And one of them's manifesting me right now.
Yes. I love how you talk about, like, learning from your past about what you don't want, but not focusing on that, just being like, okay, I didn't like that. What is the opposite of that? And then focusing on that piece. That's really great.
So many things that we don't want.
Right. But if we focus on that, then we bring that in.
You're screwed.
Yeah. You know, I want to share, I had a dream last night that was really interesting, kind of like about this, about, kind of like, what place are you in what you're calling in? So if you're like sitting in the place of like fear or, you know, limiting beliefs, like you were talking about last episode about like, you know, a common story here on the island is like, oh, we live on an island and there's like no good men here. Right. And I always say to my friends, well, if you believe that, then that's going to be true, you know, and if you believe otherwise, that that's what's true also. And I had this dream last night that I was with this beautiful woman and she was like Daryl Hannah or Heidi Klum, like just like a like bigger than life kind of goddessy woman. Mm-hmm. And she had this like gorgeous home and beautiful things and all of the like kind of stereotypical like perfect life kind of look. And she was giving me a tour of her home and of her life. And she was like, look at this, look at this. And I kept walking around going, ooh, I want that. I want that. I want this. I want that. And she stopped me and looked at me and she said, I want you to be aware that you are in the feeling and in the vibration of wanting right now. And when you tell the universe, I want this, then you're right. That's what you're in. You're in, I want this. And she said, this is such a cool dream. She said,
wow.
Remember to already be in that which you want. Remember to like put yourself there because the reality of the manifestation comes after the you settling in the vibration of that manifestation. And I was like, whoa. And I woke up like with a jolt. And so I'm thinking of, right? I'm thinking of this now when you're talking about creating a soulmate list. And I think it's important for women to write at the beginning of these, like, you know, adjectives and verbs of like what they want to bring in, that they don't start it off with, I want, but rather they say, you know, my partner is, or rather than is gonna be dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, present tense. It has to be present tense. That's such an amazing dream, but that's exactly the reason. And so that's not something that is you want in the future, because then it'll always be in the future.
Yes.
He is. Exactly. He is there. There's a human being that's perfect for you, for every one of us, he or she. And they are this way already.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not going to like turn that way once you meet them. Right.
No.
Exactly.
He is compassionate. He does love your children. He's a great example. And so important to say the, you know, and what you want your life to be like, because what I want my life to be like is not like anybody else. You can have whatever life you want. Your beautiful island life, man, that sounds so dreamy.
It's pretty dreamy.
Oh my gosh. And you know, I have so many projects and so many places, and we're running a Toyota business and I'm always there all the time. And mm-hmm. I love that. That's where we mm-hmm. are right now. We're very, you know, driven, and we're managing a lot of different things. We're passionate about a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And so what
I love Toyotas.
Yeah. I know. What I want in a husband and a partner is not like what anybody else wants.
You're right.
I wanted, you know, someone driven and a mover and a shaker and a suit. You know, I don't know why. It's just mm-hmm. it's just that to me, there's nothing worse than complacency and laziness, and which is always you're just mirroring what yourself. When I'm lazy and complacent, then that's what I hate most about myself. So, you know, you're spelling out and you're creating your order to the universe. Like you said, we're ordering up
mm-hmm.
you know, this person is just because that's what I find very attractive. And I want a partner who drives me and, you know, pushes me and loves me exactly the way I am, even if I'm feeling lazy.
And, yeah. Yeah.
And even if I am, you know, it's just having an imperfect person right alongside you, loving you the way you are and wants to grow with you and learn with you. There's a lot of people that don't think of life that way. I really want to grow every day, even when I'm 100. I'm going to be excited about the next book I'm going to pick up and learn more. I'm never going to stop learning.
So, I love that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I do think it's really important to be clear, important to think about long-term. You know, I was just speaking about when you're older, I was just listening to Maya Angelou, who I'm a humongous fan of, she was talking about with Oprah, who I'm also a humongous fan of, about what it felt like to be 80 and what her experience of being 80 is. And I was like, wow, that is so cool. I've never really thought about myself being 80. But when she said that, I was like, well, I wouldn't mind it being like that. Like, that sounds great. You know, just she was excited about life. She had just written a movie and, you know, she was just like popping, hopping. So really cool to think about.
Yeah. And what if we could all think of that, you know, instead of just getting older. I read this one quote about, I think we should talk about age as levels instead of just, you're just old. And instead you leveled up.
Yeah, I like that.
I love that. So when you're 90, you're level 90 and level 80. I thought that was so cool.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm definitely feeling that. I'm about to turn 40 and I'm like on fire. I'm like the version of me that I dreamt of being when I was a teenager, and it feels really good.
Yeah, I get ready, girl, because your 40s, it's so magical. It's finally, I think we have, at least in my experience, we finally have had enough experience to realize that we really can do anything that we want to do, what we really want to badly enough. And we're not as worried about what people think of us. And it's freedom.
Yeah.
It's freedom.
So good. I know. It's so good. I'm loving it.
Oh man.
Okay. So I want to bring you, this is the longest I've ever heard her be quiet. So I have to give her props. What was I going to say? Okay. So I want to bring it back because you mentioned a minute ago about an example of a healthy relationship. And I think that was one of the things you mentioned to me after our last episode that you wanted to speak more on. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. Will you take us through that a little bit?
Well, the reason ultimately that I left my first marriage is I really didn't want to show this type of relationship to my children as an example of this is what happens when husband and wife, this is family, this is marriage, this is what it is, right? Because you're watching everything.
Every day.
Yep. They're not necessarily going to listen to everything you say. They're watching you every single, you know, action. Since I hadn't experienced this, and what I truly desired was to have a good example of a marriage, show my children what it could be like. There's no should, just what it could be like if you have two, you know, imperfect people who serve and help and support and cherish each other. And it's such a miracle to have that. And I wanted to talk about how, what all of the gifts that have come from having a partner once the universe decided it was time and sent him to me, and he was right in front of me the whole time. And it's just, boom, you're ready now. Mm-hmm. and then what happens after that is, you know, the first year you're so in love and you're so wrapped up in, you know, new romance and new love. And it takes a bit of an adjustment. You have definitely an adjustment period. We moved in, like 4 months, almost 5 months later after our first date, we moved into this house. Yeah. We were like, this is it. We already knew it. We'd known each other for years. So.
Right. Right.
It was no reason to wait. And you know, so we were, you know, there's a lot of things that I wish I would have done differently, because I moved my kids out of their school. That was really good. And then the school that we went to that was close to John's house was not as good. So they had some bad experiences there, and I've got a little mommy guilt for that. But everything, all of the experiences make us stronger, even the bad ones. And
yep,
Leah was bullied at that school, and horrible. But hopefully we talk, you know, we just talk about how it made her a badass. You know, I mean, no one's going to mess with her, and she knows that she's strong and beautiful and independent, and it doesn't matter what people say, and mean people are everywhere.
Yep. It's really a thing you have to learn the hard way sometimes.
It's really, really, it was a difficult year. And we're all trying to figure out, what do we do now? You know, all we all live together. What are our roles?
Right.
But through all of that, there's it's messy, and there's nothing perfect about it. Everybody just has to figure it out. But I also believe that a lot of people think that, oh, the blended family thing, it's, you know, it's a nightmare. I've heard so many people say that, as, oh gosh, you know, the blended, how do you even do that? I don't want to deal with someone else's kids and all of that. And you know, what, wow, I found is exactly the opposite. And when it's the right person and they love you, they love you. They love all of you. They love all of you, and your children are all of you. They are you. Mm-hmm. And they love you even if it's frustrating, or if you have a fight, or, you know, something's going on with the kids that takes away from your, you know, your attention to your husband, your partner. They love you anyway. And they, he knows he's first, and it's very hard to make that transition. I've never had to give any of my attention to anybody else except for my kids.
Right.
So it's messy, and it's not perfect, and you just, everybody has to figure out their roles. But after a while, what you're doing is you're showing how you get through messy things, how you learn new ways of life, and you move, and it's okay. And then we moved again into our house, and moved schools again, and how those experiences are all good. That makes new friends, and new experiences make you stronger and better, and you're always constantly learning. But through all of that, you have, you know, safety. There's insecurity in life no matter what, but you have a steady, you have a constant. Like, no matter what, my mom's happy. I know that John makes her happy. And my mom, my daughter was like, yeah, ever since you met John, you don't yell as much.
Oh, I love that.
Thanks, daughter.
Yeah, they keep it real, right?
Yeah, I can't wait till you have kids.
Luna thought that was funny. I love that.
It's hilarious.
I love Reese Witherspoon's quote about yelling at your kids. She says, if you don't yell at your kids, you're not spending enough time with them. And I'm like, God, that's so true. Because if you don't see them, I am always with Luna, but when she started school and we would see each other less, we were both like way more appreciative of the time we spent together and less stressed about it. So I thought that was really great.
It's so true.
I also want to like kind of add that, you know, what people were saying about blended families and time spent and attention towards kids versus the partner. I want to just say that just because you're with, and all the single moms listening know this, but I just want to like highlight it, is that just because you're with the father of your child doesn't mean that isn't in place. That isn't a problem. Like, I remember when Luna was just 5 weeks old, her dad was very jealous of the time that I spent with her. And he was like causing a lot of problems with that. And, you know, and I was like, she's 5 weeks old, like, go away. You know, I was just like, that's ridiculous. But I've heard so many other moms say this to me about the father of their children. And so it's not just a thing about like dating. It's not just a thing about the new guy. It could be about anybody who's just immature and self-centered.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
And which I think that is, I think it's, you know, trauma. I think so many things come back to the unhealed trauma.
Yes.
For me, as I've seen that in my own life, I've seen that in my own husband, because he's got so much trauma from his childhood and his marriage. And it's a beautiful, wonderful thing to have somebody that you love and trust so much that you can help each other heal from that and make sure that I'm giving him what he needs. And his, you know, we read the five love languages together.
Yes.
It's so good, because we need love in different ways. And it's okay, because we're both secure and safe. If we have the love that we need to have the love, then our cup is filled up, for, you know, lack of a better analogy. Our cup is filled up. And so if there's a day where the kids are struggling, or something's happened at school, or I have to break a date with him to go, you know, see the teacher or something else, if something happens, then you still have the safety and security. You know, you're loved, you know, you're good. You'll, you know, see each other soon, or, you know, you'll take your time tomorrow, whatever it is. it can always be worked out because you know you're safe and secure. And when you have that relationship where you're not safe and secure and you're always on pins and needles and you're waiting for the tables to turn and you're waiting to be blamed for something.
Right.
That's how it was for me. You're always think you're going to do something wrong. You know, you're going to get yelled at for something soon, you know?
Yeah. And it's not a comfort feeling. So true.
No. And so real love and real vulnerability and real trust and real respect, you can deal with whatever comes your way with more compassion and more patience because you have that love and security. And it's a wonderful thing. And I want to try to enunciate that to people who may not have experienced that and so they don't really know what that would be like. Our children now can see what it is like. We're 5.5 years in, and one of the many gifts of coming together with my love and my soulmate is his children, to tell you the truth.
I love that.
You don't know what you don't know, you know? So yeah. I have this beautiful relationship with I have a new son and a new daughter, and they're in their 20s and they're very special to me. I hold them so dear to my heart. They have just doubled my love and joy and appreciation. And you just can't have too many kids. You know, you just
I love
so
that.
Much love and joy, and you can help, and you can blossom from a new relationship with a child of any age. I mean, children in their 20s, they're still children.
Oh, yeah.
They still need us.
I have 2-step moms, and because my dad who raised me was my mom's second husband, not my birth dad.
Mm.
And so I got a really great stepdad. Mm. And he raised me, and I contribute a lot of like the woman I am today to him because he was such an amazing father to me and my sister. And then him and my mom had 2 kids together, and they're just like, I mean, we had the best like family. We just, the 6 of us were super great. But then they divorced when I was 21. And then my stepdad, you know, who raised me, he remarried an amazing woman like a really long time ago now, I guess like 20 years ago now. And I love her. Like, she has been an amazing presence in my life and in the life of my siblings. And when I was really retreating in my abusive relationship, that's where I went. I went to their house in Minnesota, my stepdad who raised me and his wife. And they're an amazing Papa and Mimi to Luna. And then she had 2 kids. So I got like bonus brothers. And like, so I just want to say that and to like reflect in my personal experience of what you just said of like how amazing like step family can be and step siblings and step parents. And it could really be, they bring things to my life that my biological parents just didn't have in them because they're just different kind of people.
Right. It's such a blessing. It can be such a blessing to just have the opportunity to, you know, grow a relationship, have the opportunity to be an example, be a listener, be a guide, be a friend, you know.
Yeah.
We just need more friends. We need more love to spread love and spread, you know, compassion and help steer them and just show what you can. You can have somebody who loves you the way you are, and you can have an argument and still be okay, and you can still get, you know, make amends and apologize, and because you're safe and secure with that person, and you know you rock, you're gonna be together no matter what. It's a commitment that's every single day, and that commitment is also freedom. It sounds weird to be committed to somebody. Doesn't sound like it's freedom. I remember all the years that I was like, I never want to get married again. I never want to do this again. I said that, all of those things for years. I don't want that. I do whatever I want. But when you're with the right person, he's urging you to fly. He's he's blowing air on you. You know, he's he's the wind. He's creating more wind so you can go further and further and further and further because he's cheering you on. He's going, yes, go, 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 go. You're amazing. Right. And I have never had that cheerleader before. And it is freedom because he's not insecure. He's not worried. He loves it. He wants to shine the light on me. And he's so proud of me. And he's so happy when I'm doing a podcast and writing a blog and talking to our daughter, Peyton, or anything, you know, on the phone, with somebody, helping my sister or a, you know, a niece or any of that. It's, he loves it. He celebrates it. And to be truly celebrated and cheered on for who you are and to want me to shine brighter and brighter and brighter and do more and more and more, that's an incredible feeling that I had never had until I married John. I had no idea what that would be like. I'd never experienced that before.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that, because while you're talking, I'm just like literally like my head's like kind of shaking, like, yeah, I've never experienced any of that. Like, I feel like that's a big
Frick, sweetie. I walked away from the cat because I don't want to hear her meowing. Go away over there. Thank you.
He's like my little duck following me around.
Velcro daughter. So cute.
So yeah, like I think that that's a big part of my resistance about, you know, finding romance again is like, I'm like, I don't want that time and energy sucker. I don't want.
No more squeaking, baby. Please.
I don't, I have my plate so full and my life so full. I feel like I don't see where someone like that could fit in or someone could fit in. And then I've really thought a lot about what you said last week or when we spoke last about, I've never experienced that before. And that's why that's not something I desire. When you said that, I was like, I'm going to think about that. And I've thought about all of the relationships I've had since I was 13, you know, like dating for 100 years and just being like, yep, nope, I've never, none of those guys are something I would want again or something that felt like lifted me up or supported me in a way that was like consistent and big. It was all, you know, just really, like I said, like an energy sucker. So it's really nice to hear what you're saying now and just smile and be like, okay, that's a possibility. And I love that that you've like been where I am now too, so that I could not have to have that in my head of like, oh, she doesn't understand how I feel, you know, that you've been there and you've seen both sides. And I think that's great for all women listening, just to know that they're, you know, like how you said last week, like trauma creates limiting beliefs. And I have certainly been traumatized in the relationship realm. So those limiting beliefs are present indeed.
We all have, you know,
yeah.
And we're all healing from something, even if it's not specifically a traumatic relationship, but single moms, you know, we all have been traumatized and we've created beliefs around not only relationships, but around ourselves, because it makes us question everything. Quick, wait, is what he said, is that really true? Am I really a bad person? Am I really wrong? Was I wrong? Is there something I could have done to make it, you know, keep the marriage together? I have never experienced a death of a spouse, and I never would dream of pretending to know what that's like. But someone told me, I think it was my therapist, said that it sometimes can be harder than divorce can be harder than the death of a spouse, only because you always wonder if you could have done something to prevent it, or if you had done something differently. Could I have done XYZ, did I really screw this up? Is it really my fault? And
interesting.
When it's a death of a spouse, there's nothing you can do. It just happened.
It's just so done. Yeah.
There's no way to blame or shame. So you're either blaming him, you're blaming yourself, you're shaming him, you're shaming yourself. That's all, you know, unhealed. It takes time to get through the trauma of a death of a marriage. And that is what it is. It is a death. And
yeah.
You have to, you know, grieve and then you believe that that is what marriage is. That's what your marriage was. So that is the definition of marriage. Mm-hmm. And absolutely not. It's just your marriage. It's just your partnership with that one person. And you could shift it to that one person was a teacher. And and start thinking about what I really learned, what I really you loved some things about him. You loved some things about your marriage. Otherwise, you wouldn't have married him.
So on that, like, I want to speak on that for a second, because something that I've thought about many times in the 2.5 years now that I've been a single mom is that, and I even thought about this when I was still with my ex, is that I like mourn the death of what we had and who he was and what I thought he was
hold on, baby, everything's okay.
Before everything went sour. Or like for me, like I was in a really abusive relationship. So how he was when he was in the like tricking me and courting me and like building trust with me phase. I mean, it was like major knight in shining armor stuff. It was very over the top amazing. And then when that started to change, I saw that that person who I fell in love with started to die off. And then like even now, even to this day, when I'm in the middle of like court cases and all these things where I like absolutely do not allow this person into our lives, I still find myself missing that person who I met in the beginning, that person who wasn't real, you know, but it was like I mourn the death of that person, that man. Like, it's really interesting to me to think about that. And I always think I got to ask other mamas about this, if they find that to be a thing that they mourn, you know?
It definitely is for me. Every single mom I've ever talked to. Well, not all of them. Some, you know, you can kind of like just lock it all up into anger. And so you don't even think about the good things. But, you know, one of the exercises I talk about in my book, and I'm going to put it on my website as well, is letting it go. When you really look at the truth of your relationship, and you look at, you find all of the things that you really appreciate, it helps heal your anger and heal your heart and heal your resentments. And one of the steps is to actually write all your resentments down. Write it all out. I mean, I had pages and pages and pages of resentments, which is just blaming another person. And that's not helping you. That's not going to help you evolve. It's not going to help you have forgiveness in your heart. It's not going to help you have love and attract love. It's going to keep you guarded. I don't want that to happen again. So I'm not going to open my heart. And, you know, and I think one of my favorite books is on my resource list is Broken Open. She talks about if you open your heart, your heart breaks, but when your heart breaks, it's broken open. It has to be shattered open so that you can be open to new, to love and to healing and to learning and to the next chapter and the next phase and someone who will take care of your heart, and he'll hold it, you know, deeply to his chest, and he keeps my heart and my body safe because it's his first priority. It's his only thing that he cares about is my well-being and my safety. And it's such a miracle to have a partner like that. That's why I want to talk about it as much as I can, so that someone listening is saying, I don't want an abusive husband. Of course you don't. You don't want what you had before. But if you can find ways to see how you have what you contributed because of what you knew at the time and your unhealed wounds and your trauma and your beautiful, amazing spirit, little bit broken. And we fall for imitation love because we don't have our own self confidence and our own healing hasn't been completed. And we fall for that every time. We'll only fall for that if we don't have the strength and the courage and the confidence to love ourselves. Is if we love ourselves and we love our soul and what makes us unique and what makes us truly us, then we won't fall for that. You won't even be attracted to them, and you won't attract them, and you won't be attracting them. They won't even come across your radar. The people that don't serve you and don't love you and don't trust you and don't respect you, you won't even meet them.
Yes. I love that. Well said. My goodness. I just honor you and I see you and I thank you for that vulnerable and authentic and powerful share. That's very, very beautifully said. And that book is by Elizabeth Lesser and is on the Show It Off Book Club a list. And so thank you for bringing that up. She's an amazing speaker and you could listen to her on YouTube, Super Soul Sunday with Oprah. And to prepare for reading the book, ladies, she's amazing.
She is. And yes. I just bought her second one. Now I can't remember the name of it. It's on my to-do list, you know, on my books to read list. I'm really excited. She's incredible.
Awesome. Awesome. I really thank you for, excuse me, for sharing that. And I think back to, you know, Sarah, however many 5 or 6 years ago that I met, this man that I'm speaking about. And I'm like, yeah, I was a very different person. Excuse me. And I was seeking that knight in shining armor. I mean, that's what we are trained to learn, especially if you grew up in the 80s. Oh my God.
Right.
And thank you, Disney. And what happens when you are seeking a knight in shining armor is that means you are in need of rescuing. That means you're a victim. That means you're weak, you know? And when you are able to meet, like, I've heard of this concept of like a power couple, which it really sounds like what you and John are, as just meeting each other from two strong places, two wholes coming together, rather than this theory that we're taught of, you know, my other half or whatever, you know? And that doesn't feel good to me, that I don't want to be a fragmented person, but rather how you said, broken open as a whole powerful being. That's really beautiful and a big difference.
It is a big difference. And so that's why I shared the story about, you know, what happened right before I met my first husband, because now it totally makes sense, completely makes sense. He's a big, huge guy. And I had this illusion that I was a victim and I was young and vulnerable and been kind of broken and hadn't read Broken Open yet. And I was a young girl, I was 22. And I had this illusion that I was safe. He was going to keep me safe.
Right.
And I needed somebody to save me and keep me safe because I was in danger. I felt, you know, I felt like I was in danger all the time. I've been outcast and I was broken. I was damaged goods. And, you know, of course I'm going to fall for the first person who gave me that illusion of safety and comfort. And he wanted me, even though I was broken and even though I had these things, and he didn't, you know, care. He wanted me anyways. So if you don't believe that you deserve to be cherished and adored and loved and respected, then you'll keep falling for somebody who is, he's pretty good. And might be steady. He loves me in spite of my flaws and my brokenness and my mistakes and all the shame I've held. And really, once I shifted and what I created was to attract somebody who loved me because of that. And it's because of those things that I've gone through, because of the ways that I am, or my DNA, or I'm inherently, you know, bossy and always in charge, and I'm a Capricorn and I'm always the boss. and he's a Leo and he's always the boss too. And he's runs a huge company and he's a great leader. And it's exactly what we are. That's what our horoscope says, that we're going to be a power couple, and we might have a little power struggle, but there's no struggle. There's no struggle. What do you need? What can I do? What do you need from me? How can I help you? What's your dream? What's your goal? You know, I mean, we read the same books every single day. We listen to them on our walks. So we're growing and learning and, you know, on this journey side by side. There's no half and half, you know. Awesome. Like, just wanted somebody to keep up with me.
Yep.
Yeah. And hilarious. I can't keep up with him. I mean, he's the only person that walks faster than I do.
Oh, I love that. Oh,
it's so fun. So I really wanted to talk more about, you know, the blessings of having real love and to be really cherished for your essence, exactly who you are and what makes you you and what makes you unique from everybody else in your gifts. Well, you also get to help him heal too. And you also get to cherish him and give him love that he's never done. And he's never had, he's never experienced as well. Most of us haven't. And there's a pretty good chance that he's healing from trauma, and he had a terrible marriage as well. And he's still healing from that. And men have a harder time talking about it and enunciating that and articulating that. But it's very powerful to be a woman in our healing abilities, that I believe that we are able to help our human, our person, the person that was meant to be with us, we're able to give love that they've never had and heal his little, you know, he's an incredible, amazing, smart, powerful, incredible, you know, leader, boss guy, all of that. And he is a little boy, and he was abused, and he is still hurt, and he still needs love, and he needs to be cherished the way he is. And actually giving that to another human that is giving that to you, I can't even think of the word. It is a miracle. It is divine. It's divinity in your own home, in your life, like playing out the miracle of two people that can come together and help each other. And I don't think that it's possible. That's what I'm realizing now. I don't think it's possible unless you have a partner that knows every single thing about you, all of your history, all of your flaws, every single mistake you've ever made and still making, you know, still have, you know, you sharp tones at each other every once in a while and still there. Still there in the morning, still loves you anyway, still has your back no matter what. Man, I don't think it's possible to feel these feelings and have that true sense of commitment and belonging and healing without a partner like that, because I've never felt these feelings before. I've never had this experience before until I married John.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'll share one more story. A few weeks ago, we were having us several little snaps at each other. And I was like, what's happening here? Why are we getting a little frustrated here and there? Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, what's really happening? And it dawned on me again, even 5.5 years in, that we still have filters from the past. And we have, it translates. So we say words, mm-hmm. it's translated into our beliefs and our experience from the past, everything that someone's said to us before. We hear a certain thing. In his case, if I say something, it's jumbled up and jumbled up. And by the time it gets to his ears, it's me saying, you know, he's a piece of shit and I did something wrong and you're, you know, and what did I do now? You know, I'm never going to be good enough. And so I prayed for a few days. A couple snaps happened, like, I don't know, this is just a few weeks ago. I prayed for a few days and said, God, please give me the right words, the right tone, and the right time. So right words, right tone, right time, right words, right tone. A few days later, we're sitting in the pool and I said, honey, I want to tell you something, or I want to talk about something. Is that okay? And I could see him tense up. I knew it was like, oh, what did I do now? And I said, I love you more than anything. And my biggest fear, and I never talk about my fears. Like we never talk about what we don't want. And we never talk about my fear, but I'm going to say it one time to him so that I can explain what, you know, how God, the universe gave me the right words that he needed to hear. Your safety is my biggest fear is something that would happen to you. So one of the snaps happened when he was going to get some ice. And I said, be careful. be careful driving. And he was like, oh my gosh, you know, you've been telling me what to do all day long. So I don't, we let it go because I'm learning as I go. My older self wouldn't have let that go at that moment. I said, just be calm. That's not, has nothing to do with me.
Right.
And I'll have the right words, the right tone when it's the right time. Right. And so this is the day and this is the time. And I said, so when I say, please be careful, you hear me say, you're a terrible driver. It's stupid. And you know, you don't know right. how to drive. You know, and then you immediately go on the defense. I've been driving way longer than you. I've never gotten in a wreck. So don't tell me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
No one wants to be told what to do, right?
No.
Nobody does. And so instead, though, I had failed at communicating my concern. I'm not telling you what to do. I just want you to come home safe to me. I just want you to come home. So every time,
which is really all you really wanted to say, right? It was like, I just want you to come home safe to me.
That's right? It.
Yeah.
But I didn't say that because right. we're all imperfect humans and so that gave me the opportunity to see his demeanor totally change. And he was mm-hmm. like, oh my gosh, I understand what you're saying. I just, as long as I know that you love me and that is the underlying of every single thing that I say. And I said, and I'm going to work way harder at saying things in a better way and having the right tone and the right time. Because I know that that's important. That's so important to you. And he's, you know, we're all fragile in certain ways. We all have triggers from our past.
Yeah.
And that's his trigger. And so if I say it with kindness and love, then he doesn't interpret it in a mean way or an attacking way. But he's been attacked so many times for dozens of years.
Right.
That's his knee jerk. And we all have a little bit of a knee jerk sometimes. And I was able to, you know, express it the right way with God's help, with the universe's help, with, you know, love and compassion. And that showed me how important it is for me to show compassion and love to my person. And then we just leveled up because we're now that one conversation helped me grow and helped me learn more about him, helped me go, I know I need to do this better. And then he feels loved. He feels safe. Then there's no knee jerks. You're healing. Right. You're healing as we go every day. And then you create that true intimacy. No one's going to exploit me. Nobody's going to yell at me. No one's going to be mad at me and, you know, cause me shame. And he's healing at the same time. And that's the true gift of having a partner, is that we heal each other and we're growing together every day. And that's such a beautiful thing.
It is. Such a beautiful thing. That softness, that soft heart, that soft, like, not on the defense. That's really beautiful.
Yeah, it is. It was a really huge, huge day. We keep talking about how grateful we are for that. It's the only way to actually to grow and become closer and experience true intimacy is the hard conversations. So if you don't have a partner who's you're learning and growing with, then you're not having those conversations, and then you're missing out on that opportunity to create true intimacy in your life and in your world and level up and experience what that's like in all areas of your life. It enhances all areas of your life. It helps your children, your relationship with your children. It makes me softer. It makes me go, oh, I'm going to try that on my daughter mm-hmm. next time she has a snap or I have mm-hmm. a snap. Mm-hmm. Then I can explain that to her. And then I went, oh yeah, this is huge aha moments that in turn make you a better coach and leader to your children. An example. From That's having really hard beautiful. Conversations. And then how are they going to learn? How are they going to learn how a husband and wife can have a snip, and then how they repair it, and then how they can have intimacy, how you go get past all that unless they have an example in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's true gifts that I never, ever would have imagined. I didn't even have any of that on my soulmate list. How would I even have that on my soulmate list? I had no clue that this was possible.
Wow.
And so if I share more of it, then you can say, add that to your soulmate list and your intention. And this person is, and we have intimacy and I'm vulnerable. I am allowed to share all of my thoughts, good or bad. I'm allowed to have bad days. I'm allowed to have bad hair and bad breath and, you know, fart and burp. You have, I'm allowed to be. It's okay.
Thought that was funny. She's over there giggling.
It's okay. I love that. Yeah. And you're a human being. You're allowed to be all of the humanness. Every single human experience is all okay. And you're safe. You have a safety net. And you have somebody, you know, you have the ability to teach and coach your children through experiences that you may not if you don't have a partner. And you know, especially when you have littles, I think that there is a time, obviously divine time is who knows when it'll happen when it's supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. But you know, littles really do need most of your, all of your attention and all of your time and all of your energy. And that's totally okay. You know, I didn't meet John we didn't get together until my youngest was 9. So she was she was just 9. Yeah. 9 and 11. And then you have a little bit of a different season, and it's totally different than 4 and 6.
Yeah. I love that you said that, because I'm just like, I just can't right now. Just can't. I'm like, this sounds so good. Maybe someday, you know, but for right now, like this, she's the love of my life. And she's like my, like when I hear love songs, like I think about her.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm just like happy with that, and it feels so good, and it feels so freeing. And like one of the single mamas who live here on my little like single mama hale, which is she's a Hawaiian word for like homestead, she's 52 and her son is 17. And so she's in a different season than I am, being 39 with a 4-year-old, you know. And I was talking to her about our conversation between you and I and our episode number 50. Mm-hmm. And she was laughing at me and she was like, oh my gosh, you're still nursing. You're with your baby 24/7. Like, you're a woman on a mission. You're like birthing this huge like online course and this, like, you know, you're like all about justice right now. And she's like, you are in this season and that's where it is. She's like, but maybe when you're my age and Luna's older, you'll be in a different place. You won't be so like touched all the time by her, and you won't be so, you know, like focused on building your life, your foundation. You'll be more in a season of like exploring and inviting. And I was like, I like you saying that, because I think just the concept of seasons is really important to remember as moms. I remember like when she was 2 or 6, oh my gosh, 16 months was for me like the hardest age, and calling my friends who had older kids and them laughing and being like, oh yeah, don't worry, that's just a phase, it'll pass, you know, she won't always tear everything off every shelf. You know, and I was like, thank God, is this what it's like having a kid? It just destroy everything constantly. And so now she's 4 and she's lovely. She helps me clean, and you know, she puts her toys away and takes good care of them. So it's a reminder always that like seasons,
everything is a season. And I always tell, you know, anybody who has littles, that your life is completely, totally depends on the age of your children.
Yeah,
100%. That you know, that determines every single thing in your life. And so, you know, it is everything is a season. Every couple of years or even year, they're a little bit different. And next year, they're, you know, Luna's not going to do 4-year-old things anymore. And so you just, you know, once they're 7, they're not going to do, you know, 6-year-old things anymore. It's always changing. It's always a new season. And next chapter is wonderful. And, you know, and you are on a mission. You're building this incredible community and helping so many women, and that is your partner.
My relationship. Yep, yeah.
That's your relationship right now. And that's amazing.
But I just love that. That's why I was like, I need this woman on the show. I need this woman to be a part of the course, because I know, of course, there's other women in the world who are listening, who are in a different season. And I really appreciate you speaking to them and where they are now. I certainly couldn't do this alone. It's all about like finding, collecting, and speaking with a bunch of other amazing women like yourself, who've been on different parts of the journey. So I thank you. And I wanted to say, speaking of Luna, she's standing in front of me in full-on Wonder Woman garb, ready to practice her battle moves, and she can't do that on her own. So I'm going to thank you again for joining the show. I have battle practice to attend to.
Oh, yes, you do. And I hope you have your own Wonder Woman costume, because I don't know if you saw on one of my blog posts, me and my Leah, we matched. I think she was about 4. I think she was about Luna's age.
Oh my gosh. We had Luna's eyes are perking up. I
matching
need to check that
Wonder
out.
Woman outfits.
That's amazing. Okay, I'm going to get on Amazon today and make that happen, because hello, who doesn't want to do that? That sounds amazing.
Yes. It's so fun. Oh, I'm so excited for you.
Thank you. I showed her the real Wonder Woman last night, and like the first, like, I think it's like the first half an hour when they're on their like Amazon Island warrior training together. Yeah. That's like the part we watched like twice. Oh. And just, like, the rest of the movie is too boring and dark and about war.
Yes. Well, that's
but
my
the beginning,
favorite
I'm
part.
Like, yeah, you have to watch this. So she loved it, and it's on. So thank you for that. I'll definitely
well, have
get my
a blast
own costume.
And good luck in your training.
Thank you. I know I need it. Thank you so much. And I really appreciate you. And I'm really excited for becoming Mrs. Stanley, to be part of the Show It Off book club. I'm really excited to dive into that with all the other llamas. And again, all of the links to hook up with the beautiful, amazing Mrs. Karen Stanley will be in the show notes. And if you didn't already catch episode number 50, which is the part one of this two-part series, make sure that you give that a listen, because there's a ton going on there. And I have to go. And I add much love to you.
And much love to you, yeah, too. Thanks thank so much. You. We'll okay. talk soon.
Yes. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
If you love podcasts, you value storytelling, learning, and personal growth. And there's a good chance you love to read, or you'd like to read more. That is why I created the Show It Off Book Club. It's one book a month. Each book is selected because I know it will help you on your single mama journey. It's inspiration, tools and tactics, and learning from other women's stories. To see the reading list, go to @showitoffpodcast on Instagram, and you will see it there. And speaking of Instagram, you can join the book club Instagram Live happening every Saturday. It's 9 a.m. Hawaii time where I am. And there's a chart for if you're in the U.S. on my Instagram of what time that means for you, or you can always look it up on your phone. And if you're on another part of the world, yes, please look it up on your phone for 9 a.m. Hawaii time for the Instagram Live. We can talk about the book, we can share the screen, we can comment. Everyone can just join in and have fun. It's really beautiful, really fun to do. So books can be like our friends who help us along our path. And reading is more fun with your sister friends. So join the Show It Off Book Club today. Hey, thank you for listening to the Show It Off podcast. Thank you for texting this episode to at least one single mama friend you have. An extra thank you for going onto iTunes and writing a review, hitting that 5-star button so other single mamas can find it and receive the support that they are looking for. Remember, if you'd like to get more support, go to sarahfayshoff.com. And be sure to go to empoweredsinglemama.com to sign up for getting more information about the Empowered Single Mama course.